Father God in heaven, thank you, Lord. I hope we're all thankful for that royal blood of Jesus, Lord, that has taken away our sins, Lord. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your sacrifice. Father, may we come humbly to the table today, Lord, in remembrance of what you did on the cross for us, Lord. Thank you for bringing us all together here, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for our pastor. I pray you would raise him up. Give him strength in his body, Lord, that he can do what he has to do here today. May we be obedient to your word, Lord. May God, the Holy Spirit, lead us in his service. And may it all be for your Savior, for our Savior, Jesus Christ, and him alone. Father, may that be it. Father, thank you for bringing these new people here, Lord.
Amen.
May you witness to them, Lord, in their souls, Lord. May they hear what they need to hear to grow in your word, Lord. Thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for our pastor. Thank you for each and every one of us. And those that could not come, Lord, that you would heal their bodies up with that be the reason why. We'll give the honor and glory to Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. 170.
Time I'll sing glory, I'm saved, then I'll sing saved, saved.
I wish I could just get it out even louder. I would if I could. All right. Well, it's time for communion. Guys, come on down. Let's have communion. Communion. The word itself says a lot. It means to have fellowship one with another, and we're to have fellowship around the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what these elements depict for us. I want you to know that just because you participate in the Lord's Supper here, it doesn't mean that you're okay with God as a result of doing it, or that somehow you get sins taken away or something like that. That's not what we're doing here. You already need to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior in order to fellowship around the Lord's table. So who is this for? It's for believers. And if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you could say, Pastor, I know I'm saved because there was a time in my life when I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior from my sin. I understood that He died for me on the cross, that He was buried in a tomb, and 3 days later He rose up from the grave. He's alive, and He is your Savior. And so I would invite you to participate with us. I don't believe there's any other prerequisite. I don't believe baptism is necessary, although you ought to be baptized. If you haven't been since you've been saved, you should. Salvation isn't through water in a pool. It's through faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. So if you know the Lord as your Savior, I'd like you to participate together with us. And then how should you participate? The Bible says that we should make sure that we are in fellowship with the Lord. That means, Christian, if you've done some things since talking to the Lord last, and you haven't confessed your sin to Him, then you need to do that. Now, I'm not saying confess sin in order to be saved. Please do not get that mixed up. I'm talking about confessing sin so that you can maintain fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a big difference there. When you walk in darkness, well, then you're out of fellowship with the Lord. And so you need to make sure you're in fellowship with the Lord. Once you're in fellowship with the Lord, you're also then able to be in fellowship with one another here in church. I would say this, if you know the Lord as your personal Savior, participate together with us, but make sure you're in fellowship with the Lord. Because if you're not, then He may have to do some disciplinary action in your life, and you don't want that. So make sure you're in fellowship with the Lord. That's important. And then what you should be thinking about is that bread reminds us of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. The cup reminds us of the blood that was shed on the cross. And so these things just remind us of the price that was paid to save our souls. And so as we participate, your mind needs to be on the one who provided the salvation for you, and that's Jesus Christ. So be thinking about these things as we participate together. And if you're not saved, well, before you leave here today, you talk to me or someone else, and we'll help you trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior today so that you will be born again and you can fellowship around the Lord's table. And more important, your sins will be forgiven and you're on your way to heaven. That's important. So let's fellowship together around the Lord's table in that way. All right, the first thing would be to thank the Lord for the bread, because that's what the Lord did at the Last Supper. He broke that bread, and He thanked the Lord for it. And so, Chris Dolly, would you do that for us this morning?
Heavenly Father, we thank You for the privilege to observe Your supper table tonight. Today, Lord, we just thank You, Lord, for the Lord Jesus' body, Lord, who's for our sins, Father. We thank You, Lord, that bruised for our inequities, Lord, by His stripes we're healed, Father. We thank You for it. Helps always keep in remembrance. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Some announcements we have on the 26th of this month, the last Sunday of the month. We're going to have Matt Renzi here again preaching for us. He's going to preach all day. And we're looking forward to him. He's a good man of God, good preacher. Looking forward to him being here. And then March 12th, we'll have Brother William Jeffcoat here with us, and he'll be preaching all day long, and looking forward to his ministry with us here as well. And he and his wife do a good job singing for us, so we're looking forward to some good special music there. And let's see. I think that's all the special things that are going on right now at this time. I'll just give you a little update on your pastor's health, okay? I'm telling you what, if it wasn't for this pain I have in my back, I would feel great, okay? Now, I could probably jump up and down and holler and scream a little bit, but it hurts, and it bothers me. And so would you just pray that God would help me with that? Boy, when I get up in the morning just to kind of get it loosened up and work in it, it just really is a difficult time. Also, let's see. I am in the process of doing treatments, heavy doses of vitamin C down in the Philadelphia area. And I've done several of them already. And We have had a little question about the cost of it and so forth. So we'll see how it works. And right now it's the only thing I'm doing to try to extend my life. That's what we're doing. The main problem is my hemoglobin is very low. If you understand anything about hemoglobin, that's your blood, red blood cells. You need them in order to live, and they're very low. And this is supposed to generate or rejuvenate the blood cell creation. That's about the best way I could say it. To rejuvenate. Is there another term could be used? Build up the immune system. That's what your red blood cells do. My immune system is very poor. Well, it's been destroyed by all the chemotherapy that's been done and everything. So and we need to do something in order to ramp that back up again. So that's what it's to do. And it's got all kinds of minerals and supplements in it. But vitamin C is the major thing that is being given in hopes that it will generate the blood, red blood cells. All right, that's all I have for that. And I would like to sing a song for you, okay? Some of you have asked me to sing this song for you, and I'm going to do it here right now while I got energy to do it. You know, we just had communion, and you have to have fellowship with the Lord. Go ahead, Jason, get it started there so you... How about your heart? How is your heart this morning? Is it in fellowship with the Lord? If it's not, you need to get in fellowship with the Lord, Christian. This song is for the believer. It's for the believer. And so I'd like to sing it for you the best I can. How about your heart?
Is it right with God?
heaven, how would you feel if your heart were made with a window on each side so that all could see not just outward charm, but detect if inward harm. People often see you as you are outside. Jesus really knows you, for he sees inside. How about your heart? Is it right with God? That's the thing that counts today. Jesus really knows you, for he sees inside. How about your heart? Is it right with God? That's the thing that counts to.
Okay, a couple things. First, we usually do this in Sunday school, but we missed a birthday, so let's sing happy birthday to Joe Green.
All right. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you. God bless you and keep you. Happy birthday to you.
All right.
Amen.
Let's turn to Psalm 19. Hopefully my voice will do a little better this time than it did during Sunday school. Psalm 19, where we're looking at the whole passage now, verses 1 through 6. Psalm 19, verses 1 through 6. We used to do just the verses just during Sunday school, but now we're doing them during all our services, hopefully. Everybody will learn them. Psalm 19, verses 1 through 6. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day utter speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their light is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof.
Amen. Amen.
All right. Trust you're getting better at it. I'm still working on a couple of the verses myself, so. Okay, we have one more song, 185.
Watch and pray. Jason wanted to know if he should sing with the time going by. I said, go ahead. What difference does it make? Let's hear some singing and we'll get to the preaching. God hear us all praying at the same time, but he does, because he's all powerful, he's all present, he knows what you're praying about, and so that's what he does. Ralph, would you get the new papers for the next dispensation here? If you have the fourth dispensation paper there, I'd like you to notice the main scripture references. Now, each of the dispensations have various characters. One of them is the name, the promise, the time period, from the call of Abraham up to the giving of the law at Mount Sinai. The test was to stay in the land of promise. And we know that Abraham and Isaac and Jacob didn't stay in the land of promise. They went down into Egypt and they got into all kinds of trouble. And their failure was that they did that. They went into Egypt instead of staying in the land that God promised them. And that's how it's going to be anyway. He's going to give them that land as an everlasting inheritance. Right now, they don't have the land as their own. And you know, all the trouble that's going on over in the Middle East is because the children of Israel did not take God at his word here and stay in the land. As a result, they ended up being scattered all over the whole world and throughout the nations. And that's the situation today. But aren't you interested? Doesn't it thrill you a little bit to see Israel back in the land, but all the Muslim nations round about trying to kill them and destroy them? But I'm going to tell you what, God's going to watch over. He's going to take care of them. And one of these days, they're going to turn their eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved and be delivered. And all the good things God promised are going to come to pass. Well, there are those who try to spiritualize these things and say God is done with Israel and the church takes the place of Israel today. That is false teaching. God will once again work with Israel and bring them back into the land and give them a blessing. But look, you see, under the judgment, well, I'll talk about the judgment. The judgment was they ended up slaves in Egypt. And then the remedy was the Passover day when they put the blood on the doorposts and the death angel came across and killed all the firstborn in every house except those who had the blood on the door. Folks, that's a beautiful picture of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have the blood on the door of your heart, spiritually speaking, and have trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, he will pass over you like we sang today. I will pass over you. And so that's the remedy. You'll notice every one of the dispensations, there's a failure and then there's a remedy. And the remedy always includes the the blood, because it looks forward to the blood shed on the cross of Calvary when Jesus would die there. Now, getting to this part here, I want you to notice, see, main scripture references. Notice that Genesis 11, verse 10. If you just take your Bible and go there, all right, go there. Go to Genesis 11, and I want you to put your finger there, all right? This is just a very practical thing here, all right? It's not anything real deep and spiritual right now, but I want you to put your finger right there at Genesis chapter 11 and verse 10. These are the generation, or chapter, I'm sorry, chapter 11 and verse 10. Okay. These are the generations of the Shem was 100 years old and begat Arphaxad 2 years after the flood. Put your finger right there. All right. And over to chapter 12 as well. This is really where I want you to go. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So the promise is, I'm going to send you to a new land. I want you to go there, and I'm going to bless you and all the families of the earth. So Genesis 12, verses 1, 2, 3, put your finger there. Now, how far does it go? You go all the way to Exodus chapter 19 and verse 4. Exodus 19, verse 4. I want you to find that reference. All right. Exodus 19, verse 4. Then hold in your two hands, like I'm doing right here. Hold in your two hands. That is all the scripture that has reference to this fourth dispensation of promise. Not very much. It's kind of a skinny amount of information. And that's all that there is for the dispensation. And it goes to Exodus 19, verse 4, which says, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now, therefore, if ye will obey my voice, and indeed keep my covenant, and the covenant is the covenant of the law of Moses given to the nation of Israel on Mount Sinai. Now, therefore, if you will obey, ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. That's where the beginning starts, over there in Genesis 12. And that's where it ends in Exodus 19, where the law is given to Moses to be given to the children of Israel. That's it. There you are. There you are. There is the fourth dispensation, known as the dispensation of promise. Going forward from Exodus through the rest of the New Testament and even into the four Gospels and even into portions of Acts is the dispensation we will talk about next, which is the dispensation of what? The law. The law of Moses. And God says, Israel, I'm going to give you this covenant, the law of Moses, the Ten Commandments, and all the rest of the things that go along with the Ten Commandments, which would include the tabernacle, the sacrificial system, the offerings they were to bring, the priesthood, and the setting up of Aaron as the high priest, and then his sons taking his place. When he would die, his son would step in. When he died, his son would step in. When he died, his son would step in. All the way till we get to Jesus. And when Jesus arises, he is the high priest, better than Aaron, and no more high priest is needed. We have all we need in Jesus Christ. And that stops there in the book of, well, in the portions of the Gospels and the book of Acts. We read how that Jesus came And he was born of a different tribe, a tribe that didn't have high priests. He was a priest after the order of Melchizedek. All right, Melchizedek. And we'll talk about that as we continue into the fifth dispensation, which your paperwork there in calls the name of the law, the law. All right, so let's go to that. And we'll start talking about the next dispensation, the fifth dispensation, the law. Starting right there where I was reading in Exodus 19, verse 5, God said to the nation of Israel through Moses, if you will keep my covenant, the law, I will make you a peculiar people. Now, this morning we were talking a little bit about some of the law and the Mosaic system, the commandments and everything. But why did God give it to Israel? To make them a peculiar people. That means separate from all the rest of the nations of the world. God was going to reveal himself, his holiness, through the people of Israel. And he did that. All right, the time period for the fifth dispensation starts at one mountain and ends at another mountain. All right. Two mountains set off the time period for the dispensation of the law from Mount Sinai. And that's where God gave Moses the law, to Mount Calvary, where the law was fulfilled in all points by a man called Jesus Christ. Fulfilled it completely. He never sinned. He was holy without sin, and that's why Jesus could die on the cross for your sins and mine. I can't die on the cross for your sin. You can't die for me on the cross. Why? Because you're a sinner, and you have broken the law. There isn't a single one here today who could stand up and say, Pastor Freeman, I have never broken the law once in my life. Oh, imagine if someone could do that. I'm going to tell you what, right then and there, he already broke one because he's lying through his teeth. All right. He's lying. And the Bible says, thou shalt not bear false witness. And so he's broken the law right there. No other man other than the Lord Jesus Christ has kept the law completely without fail. And the Lord stood there and they could not find anything wrong with him. In fact, Pilate was trying to let Jesus go because he found no fault in the Lord Jesus Christ. But they hated him so. And, the holiness of God and the awful sinfulness of men just cannot go together. And men need some way to be saved in order for man and God to be brought together. And there is someone who has done that, and that someone is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is a reconciler. All right? He brings two parties together. The one party who is full of sin and the other party that's holy. How can these two walk together? Somehow. Sin has to be dealt with, and that's what God has done. So what was the test during this time? Let's look at that. Number one, for Israel, by faith, to obey the law, follow its provisions for breaking the law, including temple sacrifices, and then be blessed. You know what? If Israel followed the law and obeyed the law, God blessed them. When they disobeyed and went the wrong way, God cursed them and brought trouble their way as a result of breaking the law. Number two, Israel was to bring a proper sacrifice for sin. And, you know, throughout their whole history, and by the way, in Sunday school, we kind of held our pages, which show the pages in the Bible that represent the law. Look at my Bible I'm holding here. All these pages represent the dispensation of the law. It's a big portion of the Bible. So God wants us to learn that the breaking of the law separates man from God. But that law, when it is kept, can bring the sinner and the holy God together. And the only way that could be accomplished was through Jesus coming in between. We need a mediator between you and God. And that mediator is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Israel was to bring a proper sacrifice. Number three, God wanted to teach other nations through Israel. And so many times God would, through Israel, reveal his holiness to other nations round about. Can you just imagine a Gentile person coming up on the camp of Israel someday, and they would see the tabernacle sitting there in the middle of the camp of Israel, and there is this cloudy pillar on top of that tabernacle all day long, and at nighttime it turned into a pillar of fire. Can you just imagine what the Gentiles must have thought when they saw these things taking place in the nation of Israel? Oh, also, how about what would they think when they saw the children of Israel disobeying the law that God had given to them? In time, they knew the law of God as well. Can you just imagine the Gentiles watching the Jews being judged as a result of their own disobeying of the law? And it happened several times where the children of Israel lost battles because they were not serving the Lord the way they should. And the Gentile nations would often point their finger and say, the reason why we beat you and destroyed your armies and so forth is because you have not been following your own God. What a bad testimony they were at times. Then there were times when they were obedient to the Lord. Just take David and Goliath. You know, his little stone that he threw, and Goliath fell down dead. And the Philistines were beaten that day by the children of Israel because they were following the Lord and doing the things that God wanted them to do. This is the test that Israel was given, and often they obeyed, but many times they didn't. And so blessings and cursings came their way. And the failure, Israel disobeyed the law. The flesh is weak, folks. Not the law. The law isn't weak. The flesh is weak. You know, there's nothing wrong with the Ten Commandments. There's something wrong with us. That's the problem. The Ten Commandments are holy and good. We're the ones that are weak. And it says here, without faith, Israel disobeyed the law and abhorred temple sacrifices. They did not trust the Lord, but brought in idols. Oh, it's a terrible thing to read throughout that big portion of the Bible, how that the children of Israel actually brought in false gods and started to worship them instead of the God of Israel. And they refused to honor God's remedy for sin. And they fell into what is a dead orthodoxy. A dead orthodoxy. In other words, they had the law. Many times they would keep the commandments of the law, but their heart wasn't in it. And because their heart wasn't in it, and the Lord, the song I just sang, you know, how about your heart? Is it right with God? It wasn't right with God, and God knew it wasn't right, and their outward appearance was okay, but the heart was not right. So a judgment was given. He dispersed them and scattered them throughout the world. And the remedy was the sacrificial system, culminating in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. And folks, I'm going to stop right there, and we'll finish this next week. Your pastor needs to utilize the ladies' room, okay? I'm sorry to bring that up, but I just have to end this at this point right now. And you just pray for your pastor that you can keep on keeping on, all right? And so let's have a word of prayer and be dismissed. We did a lot of things here this morning, so let's have a word of prayer and be dismissed. Our Father, we thank you for the word of God. And we thank you for the dispensational teaching of thy word. And as we finish up with this next time, help us to see that we need to rightly divide the word of truth so that we can apply it correctly. Help us as we go our way and give us a good evening service tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.